Welcome to the Generations Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor Brian Nugent. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life. For more information about Generations Church, please visit our website at gctlh.org or like us on Facebook.
Hey, this morning is going to be a little bit different. This morning and next week are just, it's going to be a little bit different. Like, probably won't be like the classical kind of message. It's kind of our vision weekend. I usually do one weekend concerning vision. I'm doing two this weekend, two this time. Just some things that you just want to say to the church. And in a moment, I'm going to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to give you a kind of a foundation for what we're talking about. But I just think as a pastor, from time to time, it's important that you, kind of remind and refocus and just talk to the church. So the next couple of weeks is just going to be maybe just, you know, kind of the Generations Church here. So today we're going to talk about who we are as a church. Next week, we're going to talk about where we're going. What's in the future? It's kind of more of our classical vision Sunday that we've done several years. But so today we're going to focus on who we are. Next week, we're going to talk about where we're going. What's in the future for Generations Church? Sometimes you can kind of get in the habit or routine of just attending, and and that's fine. But I just want to take a little while this morning and just kind of redefine. What does it mean when you say you go to Generations Church? You know, so I just want to kind of work through that this morning. Now, let me start. Last week, I started with Canterbury Tales. And all of the literature people, you just loved me, all right? I got emails that said, thanks for Canterbury Tales, all right? So some of you were like lost, you know. So this morning, I want to start with DNA. Let's go back to high school, all right? DNA. So we've come to learn a lot, especially recently, about the importance of DNA and the role of DNA. And it's kind of, for lack of a better term, it's kind of like your individual fingerprint. It only defines, you. It's unique to you. So let's start, just to kind of get you in the flow this morning, let's start with a little DNA quiz. Are you ready? All right. I got some teachers here today, so I think you'll do better than first service. Ready? All right. So those that discovered DNA were Watson and, oh my goodness, Crick. You can't Google. Oh my goodness. First service. They nailed it. All right. They referred to DNA as the double. Okay, all right. Over here was good. Over here in first service and second service, there was no answers. Come on. All right, so DNA, it is compared to like a blueprint, since it contains the instructions to construct, other components of the cell. So it's the blueprint of the body. So if we were going to, replicate you, maybe we could do that, because we would have your DNA. There is a uniqueness to your DNA that's unique to only you. All right. So if you are a movie fan, you'll remember the movie Jurassic Park. Remember that? All right. Any Jurassic Park fans? All right. So Dr. John Hammond, he's an archaeologist. You remember the movie plot line? He's an archaeologist, and he discovers this unusual, he finds this unusual discovery. He finds a mosquito that has been enveloped in tree sap for, a long, long period of time. And on the inside of that mosquito was the DNA of a dinosaur, all right? That's the premise of the whole movie. So he finds the DNA, he gets in the laboratory, and he begins to develop, because of the DNA blueprint, he begins to develop the dinosaurs. And you and I today tremble when we hear the word velociraptors, right? Remember that last scene, all right? So just from the very beginning of DNA, he takes it and he replicates, he replicates dinosaurs. So let's kind of use that thought. If we're creating the church, you know, that the Lord would want us to have, he gives us some hints in Scripture about the DNA that the Lord wants us to have. And I want to maybe just make an application this morning to our church. So this will be a little bit different in structure this morning, but I've got something in my heart that I want to share. So when it comes to the role of the church, specifically our church, there are questions that we need to ask and answer, and we can find that in Scripture. What does the church believe? What is its function? What is its mission? Why does it exist? When we come to church on Sunday and we meet together, what's the purpose? What's the point? Why are we doing all of this connected with the local church? So the DNA, the unique blueprint of the church, is discovered in Scripture. And I already asked you to turn or on your devices to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to read through this. It gives us a great blueprint of the DNA of the church. All right? So here's what Paul says, Ephesians 2 and 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. So this passage gives us a broad image of the DNA or the blueprint of the church. It tells us certain things about the church. So Christ Jesus, it mentions, is the cornerstone. So the most important thing when it comes to the church is Jesus. It is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, or the teachings of the apostles and prophets, which make reference to the role of Scripture in the development, in the blueprint, the DNA of the church. It says it's joined together or built, and it rises using a construction image. It rises as a meeting place for worship. So it shows us also the connection of Jesus and the church. And at the very beginning, it says, it references those who are far away from God are now family because of all of this interactivity of Jesus, the Scripture, the church, and it serves so that people can come and know the wonderful grace of God. So through the Scripture, just like Dr. Hammond was pulling DNA out, we can look at the Scripture and see how the church should be shaped and formed in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. Now, there are other places in Scripture as well that you can read about the DNA, the blueprint of the church, and you can kind of pull it out. So in the book of Acts, you can read about the early church. Now, the early church had several characteristics that are really important as we talk about DNA of Generations Church. So the early church was one that was devoted to prayer. Not just one time, but that is woven through the book of Acts, that they were people that prayed. They were people that fellowshiped and they built relationships together. They were people that sent missionaries out. They were people that sent offerings to the poor when there was a famine, that was in there. They were a church that was filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit. So as you go to the Scripture, you can see certain elements of DNA that we pull out when we're going, who are we as a church, who we are as a church, that we pull out and we go, you know, we need to replicate that and make sure that's part of our church. So one part of church DNA comes from Scripture. It comes from Scripture. But there's another part that is the uniqueness of every congregation. All right? The uniqueness of every congregation. Church DNA is also determined by the uniqueness of every situation. Every church is different. Every church, geographically, their strengths, their weaknesses, they are different, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So, like, one of my favorite illustrations on church uniqueness comes from West Texas. So it was a church that out in West Texas, out toward Laredo, and they looked around and they just decided, hey, we are a cowboy culture. That's who lives around here. So we're going to We're gonna name our church Cowboy Church. All right, very original title, very original title. So they formed Cowboy Church, and here is kind of their mission statement. Our mission is that the men and women of the Western culture would experience a spiritual revival in their hearts. We envision ourselves helping to start many more Western heritage churches in Texas and any place that the Lord would open the door. Our band has a Western gospel swing with a mix of praise. Anybody ready to download that CD? I mean, I've heard of Southern gospel. I've never heard of Western gospel. All right, but here's a church that took some of the biblical DNA of church planting and loving Jesus and said, but you know what? We're unique to the fact that our whole community is just cowboys. Cowboys, ranchers, and all of that. So we're gonna tweak our church a little bit. So the uniqueness of that will be that we are a cowboy church, and that's what they do. I don't know that I could attend. I don't have cowboy boots. You know, I don't know what the dress code is out there, but that is the unique part of the local church. So a lot of our DNA blueprint comes from the scripture, but then also we are to acknowledge the uniqueness of every church. Just as every snowflake is different and every fingerprint is different, God will create a church that is unique. You know, we are not standardized, we are not franchised, we are not cookie cutter. God has a unique quality, you know, for every church. So just saying that up front, several months ago, we started kind of a journey to answer the question, who we are. We started with our creative team and got some input there. Some of our staff has kind of been working on this. We even enlisted Alicia Hall. She's a great word person to kind of help us kind of shape this statement that we're going to talk about, you know, this morning. So when you came in, you should have gotten a little flyer that says who we are. All right, and this morning, I want to walk through that. I want to just kind of read through that. Now, I know it's got 14 points, and some of you are already panicked. I already know that. I promise you, we will get out at the same amount of time. But I want to just kind of spotlight our DNA. I want to talk about our church this morning. We'll talk specifically kind of where we're headed in the future. But this morning, I want to just kind of answer the question who we are today. So we'll draw from the Bible, but we'll also look at some of the unique qualities of our church and then talk about our marching orders at the end. So here's the first thing. Some of them I'll just kind of skim over. Some of them I'm going to talk about for a few minutes this morning. So we are biblically based. We joyfully embrace and proclaim the scripture as absolute truth. It is our guide for everyday life and the foundation of our faith. People are funny about the word truth, especially when it comes to the term absolute truth, because there shouldn't be anything that should guide you other than self. Our culture today teaches us that truth comes from individual decisions, individual behaviors, situational ethics, that truth is relative, you know, from person to person. And some churches think that the Bible is a bunch of suggestions that you grab some that are convenient and you ignore some that aren't convenient. But we just want to say up front that we are a church based on God's word. Whether it affirms what we're doing or whether it slaps us on the hand, we are a church that believes in the divine inspiration of scripture, and it is a foundation to everything we do here at the church. We are biblically based. It's part of our DNA. It's part of our DNA. Now, this statement is not necessarily our complete doctrine statement, but we felt like there were some essentials of doctrine that needed to be woven into what we're saying this morning. So we are biblically based. We are Christ-centered. We are centered around the hope and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. We have committed ourselves to following the life and the ministry and teachings of Jesus. So we're not just a group of people who are in a community self-help movement. You know, just trying to be better people, trying to make better decisions for our life. That is not why we meet on Sunday morning. We are not a people that would put ourselves under the cultural term, you know, just trying to be more spiritual. There's a term out there, it's spirituality. It's kind of an Oprah kind of term that just, you know, that really has no definition to it. But that's not our church. We're not just trying self-improvement here. We are people that found that we are spiritually bankrupt and without hope, and we found an answer to that through the person of Jesus Christ. That's what we found. We are a Christ-centered church. Folks, this church is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So we're biblically based. We are Christ-centered. We are creative. We are committed to presenting the gospel creatively and being culturally relevant so that we can reach people. We will go outside the box to provide opportunities for others to hear God's love. So we're looking at ministry, but we're looking at ministry through the lens of creativity. What can we do better? What can we do differently that would allow us to present the gospel, you know, a different way or to a different group of people? How can we leverage technology? How can we leverage media? How can we leverage the arts, our location, our name, our relationships? What can we do creatively so that we can get the message of Jesus out? So that's kind of, we're always looking for a new way to present a timeless gospel. Now let me just say too, you know, Jesus took risk when he was spreading the gospel. They told him, don't be around lepers. But he touched lepers. They said, don't eat with sinners. What are you doing? Eat with sinners. But he did that. Okay, so I want to say we're gonna push the edge just a little bit. We're gonna look for all the time for new ways that we can present the message of the gospel to a new generation or a different way, you know, to spread the message of Christ today. So we are creative, we are committed to excellence. We will strive for excellence as we work hard to honor God in our service to others. Just a moment here. So I'm in the drive-thru with Kelsey the other night. And can you tell just from the person on the intercom whether they're going to get your order right or not? I mean, it was evident. She wasn't in it. She was not into it. We repeated it over and over, and I just said, Kelsey, They're going to get it wrong. You could just tell. She's just kind of going through the motions. Sure enough, you know, it was wrong. Well, let me just say something. That's not our goal here. We don't want to be sloppy and careless when it comes to, you know, representing the Lord. Excellence is our goal. We don't always reach it. We don't always achieve that. But excellence is important because excellence honors God. So that's part of something that just wanted to put in your hearing this morning. We are an equipping church. We provide opportunities for others to be successful in ministry. We equip and release people into the plan and the purpose that God has for their lives. So our belief, this comes out of Ephesians chapter 4 when it talks about the church, you know, preparing God's people for works of service. So our hope in belief is that you'll have a dream, you'll have a thought, you'll have a ministry, you'll have a place that you want to serve in your heart, and then we kind of equip and release you to go do that. I very rarely say no to people when they have an idea. I want them to kind of find their way, kind of find their pathway of ministry. You know, I think it was 2 years ago that I talked to George and Doris, you know, about, man, what can we do for homeless in our community? We don't have any kind of Homeless Connection, and they came back and said, look, we would love to be involved in some kind of homeless outreach. And we worked together and talked together, and together we birthed Street Hope, and I gave them the keys to that. And let me tell you, it is a ministry that is really touching our city. Now, I say that to you because that was something that was kind of percolated in their hearts, and they came and we worked with them, and now they lead that ministry, Pam, when it came to singles. We've got other examples there. So I'm just saying to you this morning that our DNA is to be an equipping church for you to find the call, find the dream, come share that with us, and who knows what door that may open. Everyone's got a gift, everyone's got a call, and we want to nurture that, and that's part of who we are and what we are. We want to equip and release. We are a family, we are family friendly. We value families at every stage, no matter their background. We love and invest in marriages, parents, kids, and students, especially like very early, you know, in people's marriage and early in their family. That's an important time. And this church has always just kind of been a haven for young families, and that's important to us. Everybody's valued. I'll talk about that in just a second, but especially like young married couples in their first couple of years, the church needs to be a resource and a support. And then once you get comfortable in your marriage, you have babies. Oh my goodness. And the, you know, where's the budget? Where's the time together? And nurturing young families as they're kind of, you know, going through that first stage of, you know, with children. And then as a parent, once you figure out parenthood, then your child turns 13 and you have no idea what to do. There's just no idea. Family friendly. And then, you know, we've got people in our church that are single parents. You're our heroes out there. How you do it, I have no idea. So that's just part of our unique DNA here, is love and nurturing and caring and involvement and watching over young families, especially young families and through GC Kids and GC Students and Gen U. So we're family friendly. It's part of our DNA. We are generous. We joyfully give our time, our gifts, and our resources that all people can experience the grace of Jesus Christ. So generosity, it's a biblical, we serve, we give, we tithe. You know, I'll just for the sake of time, I'll go the next one. We are imperfect. I think this is my favorite one. This is my favorite one. We are imperfect. This is the declaration of our church. We are all sinners and have made mistakes that we regret. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done or what you're going through. You're accepted here. You're accepted here. Now, I like World War II history and, you know, through that connection, I'm really a Winston Churchill fan. And through that, I've just read a lot of English history. And one part of that that has always interested me is the royal family. The royal family, the lineage, the House of Windsor, really specifically as we're talking about England. And anytime they have a, you know, one of their young adults that wants to get married, the royal family gets very nervous because they want them to marry another royal family, you know. And it's okay as long as they can prove, you know, that another royal lineage. But there's a problem in the royal family when somebody falls in love with a commoner, all right? What was the king that married the, you know, the lady from America, and he stepped down, you know, she wasn't good enough. Remember when Prince Charles was dating Diana, and she was a commoner? Oh my goodness, she's a school teacher. We couldn't have her in the royal family. And let me just say, but that's the way some churches approach who attends there. They've got kind of this royal family culture where if you've done certain things and behaved certain ways, then you might need to find another church. But I just love that about our church, because we're a church of imperfect people. I mean, we've got people here who've been in prison, you know. They're probably sitting to your left, you know. We've got people who've been through divorce. sometimes multiple divorces. We've got people with addictions in their past. We've got people with, you know, addictions in their present. We have people in our church that have stories that they are hiding because they are afraid, about acceptance. Well, let me just say, if you have issues, this is your church. Matter of fact, I'm going to make that our motto. I'm going to get a t-shirt. If you have issues, come to Generations Church. Because you know our makeup. We're not royal family and culture. We're people that have come from brokenness in our lives. And we welcome people to walk through those doors with brokenness in their lives. And let me say, we don't ask people to clean themselves up or to get their act together before they're good enough to come to the church. It's like an emergency room going, hey, we'll help you, but you really need to get that fever down first. There's no logic to that. We are people that are imperfect. We came from imperfection. We are on a spiritual journey. So we don't look down our nose at anyone. So you may be here this morning and going, but you don't know what I've done in my life. And I say to you, we don't care what you've done with your life. There is hope and forgiveness and grace and a second chapter through the person of Jesus. You're welcome here. You're welcome here. We're glad that you're here. Look, I think that's an important part of our DNA, important part of our culture. Whoever walks through the back door, we don't care about the amount of brokenness in your life. We just want to point you to Jesus. Because you know what? As we point you to Jesus, we've still got brokenness in our own lives. We're still working on our own. We're still working on our own self. We are imperfect. We are multicultural. We welcome all people regardless of race, ethnicity, language. We embrace every culture as they join our community. So in the early church, in the book of Acts, they were having a little racial issue. They were having this little issue of race. Now, maybe it was the Jews concerning the Gentiles. Maybe it was racial prejudice. It was probably more like racial suspicion. They were just suspicious. And then all of a sudden in Acts chapter 10, the Lord speaks to Peter and shows him what he's doing in the hearts of the Gentiles. You know us, us Gentiles, we were looked down on and didn't seem worthy. And the Lord said, hey, what I've cleansed, don't call unclean, all right? And from that point on, the church became a multicultural, multi-ethnic, multiracial organism. Now, there are times in its history that it did not always reflect that, but the DNA of Scripture says it doesn't matter your skin color, the language you speak, or the accent that you have, you are welcome in the house of God. So we see Acts chapter 13, we see a prayer meeting going on, and I love it, because the leaders of the Antioch church, they're praying together. One is a Jewish guy, one is a black guy, one's a Gentile, and I think there might have been another Jewish guy there. I love that. They're praying together in the church. We are a multicultural church. Our church represents 20 to 23 different nationalities, and we are a better church because of that. Amen? We are a better church because of the ethnic diversity that we have in our church. We have a good number of people who are of Latino or Hispanic background. We're so glad that you are here. We have Spanish ministry. This morning we are translating. We've got Anita in the back, and she's translating this message today into Spanish. And I want to say, if you're listening to me through the earpiece, we want you to know how much we appreciate you, that you come to church every Sunday to a place that you don't even speak the language, but we want you to know that you are appreciated. Amen? Would you do that? Would you go to a church that didn't speak your language, put in an earpiece, and that's all you heard? No, but we've got faithful people that do that. So we're multicultural, Spanish, African, and we embrace it. And I love the diversity. I love the diversity. All right, you know what Pastor Joe gave me for Christmas? He gave me a Christmas flan, a dessert. That's amazing. That's amazing. Christmas fun. I'm like, it's so much fun going here. I mean, I like it. But that's part of our unique DNA. We're from Florida, so you would expect a Latino kind of footprint here, but we are open to anyone regardless of race. And I just want to say, because the church world today, I mean, excuse me, our country today is still having trouble with race. I don't understand that. They're still having racial issues. And I just want to say this morning, let the church be the example to the world that all people, regardless of their race and culture, can come together and be in community. And I want to say, let this church be the example to our community that all races can come together and they can be in community and friendship and brotherhood. We're multicultural, and I'm proud of it. I'm proud of it. We're multicultural. We are multigenerational. We believe in the purpose of every generation and embrace our heritage as we invest in our future. There is a place for every person, no matter what age or stage of life. My former job before I came, for some, those of you that are new, before I came to Generations, I worked in the headquarters of the Assemblies of God in Kentucky, and I was the state youth ministries director. And part of my job, I traveled almost every Sunday to a different church. Over my tenure, I probably preached in 90, 95 different churches all across Kentucky. Okay, it was a great laboratory for me. I learned a lot. Listen, when you're doing an altar call with a banjo and a mandolin playing in the background, I mean, you just learn a lot about flexibility. So, you know, but I would go into different churches and I'd see different things. And there were times that I would walk into some churches and there would be a lot of mature believers, but the nursery door was closed because there was no babies, and the children's church door was closed because there were no kids, and as I looked across the congregation, there was no young families. And that's sad, because those churches, they need the excitement and the energy that comes, you know, from young families. The people that clean the church, they need the challenge of cleaning up the behind young families. And then I'd go to other churches, and they were all young. But I would look across the congregation, and there were no mature saints. Didn't even seem like they were welcome there. And I thought, that's sad, because this church is missing the stability and the wisdom and the mentoring relationships that come, you know, from having senior adults in the, you know, in their church. So I say a healthy church is one that embraces all of the age demographics. I think that's a healthy church. But you've got senior adults and you've got babies and you've got everything in the middle, and that is part of our unique DNA. Our name reflects that. We're called Generations, and that's a statement to our community that from the tiniest infant to the oldest senior adult, that you have a place and that you are welcome here. And I love that. I love that. We embrace our heritage. We're very thankful for those that have gone to church here a long period of time, in the investment that they've made in the past and the investment that they're made in the future. I love our senior adults. They're some of the greatest, godliest people that I've ever met. Now, I will say, they are a little mischievous. Can I tell you that? They are just a little mischievous. But they're really, really good people. And I love our young families. I love our babies. I love, you know, we invest back, you know, into our multi-generational, you know, church with, you know, a children's pastor and youth pastor and all the things that go with that. We are multi-generational, and we're proud of that. We're very proud of health across the demographics. There are a lot of people that would just, a lot of pastors that would love to have our demographic diversity. So, all right, we're an outreach-driven church. We're outreach-driven. Our purpose on this earth is to see people meet Jesus. We exemplify the love of Christ across the street, in the workplace, and around the world. You know, some churches, you know, They just don't kind of get that. This isn't like a little internal club that we meet on Sunday morning, you know. But the main reason we meet is that so others can know Jesus. And we are outreach driven when it comes to that. Evangelism and personal evangelism and church evangelism is at our biblical DNA core. It's why we exist, so that other people can know. And we do that through a lot of different ways. We have ministries right in our community to Maryland Oaks, Raw Middle School, Rudiger Elementary. We try to do what we can to reach our world right here in our community. And then that also spurs us to be a great missions church. I'll give you the exact numbers next week of our missions giving from last week, but we've got people in our church who believe that every person around the world gets the opportunity to hear the name of Jesus, and they give money to that. We take teams around the world to build churches and to do ministry. We got two teams going to Ireland this particular year. So it's just a reminder that we are outreach driven. We are not internally focused, but that we are outreach driven. We want to see people accept Jesus. And if you're here today, and I know this is a little bit different message, but if you're here today and, man, you're away from God, you're not where you should be with the Lord, I would love the opportunity to talk to you at the end of the service and maybe have a chance to pray with you. So we're outreach driven. We are prayer focused. We focus on prayer individually and as a church. We believe that prayer changes things, changes lives, circumstances in our world. So we're as a church, this is part of our DNA. We're praying people. We believe in the power of prayer. The last couple of weeks, I've just been trying to encourage everyone in your own personal devotional life, your own personal devotional time, to spend some time with the Lord. We do that individually, but then we do it collectively as a church, encouraging people to pray. We do it every Wednesday night. We've gone old school with congregational Wednesday night prayer. That's what we do. But it's not really old school. It's biblical DNA that the church should pray. Jesus said, make my house a house of prayer. And we're going to do that. And it's part of who we are and what we are, that we are praying people. We're praying people. We are spirit empowered. We believe in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We rely on His guidance for wisdom, for life. And we welcome Him in our gatherings. It was part of the biblical DNA of Acts chapter 2 that the Holy Spirit was moving in the lives individually and collectively in the churches. It was moving in the local church. So we believe that it's an important tenet, in our church DNA, that we are reliant on the Holy Spirit. I pray for the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life personally, and I pray that when we come to church, we sense God's presence in the building. We don't serve a dead God, and I don't want to go to a dead church. We welcome the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our gatherings. When we come into church, we want God's Spirit to move in a powerful way. And we have a plan, we have a program that sometimes God births in our heart, and there are things that we know in particular services we feel a leading of the Lord. And then there are times that the Holy Spirit says, hey, good try, Nugent, but I've got this one this morning. This service is mine. Now, you can go back to our Labor Day service and just watch that service. That was one that we had a great plan, and the Lord said, I got something else in store this morning. So we believe in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We're not trying to move away from that. We are embracing the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and that's part of our church DNA. And then the very last one, Matt and the worship team can come. We're a team. The church is strengthened when everyone serves together. We encourage everyone to be involved and find a place to use their gifts. So Romans chapter 12 is talking about the body of Christ, and it says everybody's got something. Somebody's the hand, somebody's the foot, somebody's the knee, somebody's the eye. It uses the imagery of the body, and it's just letting us know that everybody's got some kind of contribution when it comes to serving God, in the local church. So we're a team. We're a team. It shouldn't be staff heavy when we have staff. But it's everybody knowing I got something I want to give back to the Lord through service. So we're always looking. We're always searching, always asking for people to join our team. You saw the announcement a little while ago. We need you. We're a team. We need you. But let me say, you need us too. Because there's a part of your spiritual life that will go unfulfilled until that question about service is answered. And you never know what God will do in your life through a simple act of obedience and service. You never know where that will lead. You never know where that will lead. So we're a team. We're a team. All right, so that's just kind of who we are. Who we are. That's some biblical DNA, but that's also the acknowledgement of some of our, you know, uniquenesses as well. So I want to say to our church, Generations Church, man, I love you guys. I'm so honored to be the pastor here. But this isn't a time to play church. This isn't a time to go, hey, we're 77 years old. Most people, when they're 77, they are retired. Good try. Not us. We're 77 years old. This isn't a time to wave the white flag and go, hey, we've got some good years in us. This is not a time to go through the motions. This is not a time to be as one of the churches in the book of Acts. He said, you're dead, but you think that you are alive. It is time to make sure in 2018 that we are about the Lord's business. We're about the Lord's business. Jesus walked into the church in Jerusalem, and they had scattered from their original purpose. Had all kinds of tables out, changing money, all of that. And he threw all that aside, and he brought them back to DNA and blueprint. He threw all that aside, and he said, you know, my house will be a house of prayer. He brought them right back to DNA. I want to say to you this morning, we have a great opportunity at our church, and I'm excited about the future. And I don't believe our best days are in the past. I believe God is going to do something amazing in our future. So amazing in our midst that we will all sit back and know that it's the hand of God. You'll know it's the hand of God because you know the limitations of your pastor. I barely graduated out of high school, okay? I'm way far beyond what I ever thought in my own life. Why you hired me, I have no idea. But I've been here. I'm already past probation, so I'm here. Have a great opportunity as a church. The church is not careful, we'll become a silent voice in the midst of a very aggressive culture. We will be tolerated, but we will be unheard. We will be meeting, but we will make no impact. And that's not what God has in store for us. It is a time for us to be aggressive. It is a time for us to pray. It is a time for us to be passionate. And it is a time for us to be alive with God's presence, with God's vision and purpose flowing out of your heart. I don't want to go to a church that their best days are in the past. I'm believing God has got a new day, a day of favor for Generations Church. I believe that. Would you stand? Paul Bryant, would you come here? Thank you, Lord. I asked Paul, he's one of my prayer partners here. I asked Paul to pray over our church this morning, whatever's on his heart. Let's make a commitment to the Lord as a church. I want to see God do something great in our life.
Before we pray, I was thinking along the same lines as Pastor was. This, the foundation that we have, this building that you're sitting in this morning is literally built on the foundation of the old sanctuary that was sitting here. It's under this floor. You don't see it, but it's built on the foundation that was here. So God has got a plan for this church, and I want us to lead us in the to the Lord in prayer. Y'all, don't just listen to me, but you ask the Lord to bless this church as well this morning. Heavenly Father, first of all, we thank you for who you are. And God, that you're our Father and that you're our Lord, you're our Redeemer and our soon coming King. And Lord, as this church has been here for 77 years, it's faced many storms that have come and tried to blow it away. And the foundation has tried to be shaken over that period of time. But Father, we're grateful this morning because that you have kept it stable and you've kept it rooted and grounded because of your word and because of, Lord, your people has looked unto you and kept you first and centered in their lives and in their hearts. And this morning we pray, God, that as we go forward from here and as the Vision Sunday, God, that we'll keep you in the center of our hearts and our minds, and we'll not let the things that we face and the circumstances of life alter our hearts from away from you, but God, that we'll keep you in first place in our lives. And we ask you for the ministries of this church, Lord, for Pastor Brian and for Pastor Matt and Pastor Bo and Pastor Shane, God, and Pastor Joe, as they lead your people this morning. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would watch over them. Give them wisdom, God, and give them courage today. Whatever they face, God, that you, Lord, would be in their lives and that you would guard their hearts this morning. Help our lives to be centered on you, Jesus. We love you because we know where you brought us from and where we would be today without you, God. We thank you this morning for your love. And we ask you, Heavenly Father, that you would continue to bless Generations Church, Lord, as we go forward and the different and new ministries are blossomed and blooming out, Lord. God, that your hand would be upon them. And Lord, that you would guide every heart this morning, we pray. Keep us this morning by the power of your Holy Spirit. We'll love you and give you praise for all that you do, God, in Jesus' name.
This concludes today's message. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened. For more information, please visit our website at gctlh.org or like us on Facebook.